It is Wednesday night. That means that it is Sound Off Extra Time. I am the Solid Monster, and this is your AEW Dynamite review for April Fool's Day, 2020. No April Fool's pranks here because people are, I think, under enough stress as it is, so why add to it? I'm going to piss off all the... by the way, hello, everybody. I should probably just say hello and make sure everybody in the chat can hear me. If so, just type in April Fools. So that way I know that we're all good to go. Here as we have people filtering into the live chat, I say welcome to all of our newbies and all the usual suspects. I see a lot of the usual folks here in the chat. Yowie Wowie says Raffman. Everybody dies, says Ryan A. So again, just let me know that you guys can hear me. I'm going to piss off all the AEW fans now, I know, by talking about WrestleMania. Just some quick WrestleMania history. Not WrestleMania this year, but some quick WrestleMania history. Today, I don't know how many people realize this, but today is actually a very historical day for WrestleMania. It was 30 years ago today, to the day, April 1st, that WrestleMania 6 took place at the Sky Dome in Toronto with one of the most legendary WrestleMania main events of all time. As I'm sure many of you youngins, if you've been watching wrestling for a long time, you probably saw the match just as I did. Hulk Hogan against the Ultimate Warrior, champion versus champion, title for title. Babyface against babyface, which really, as far as a big main event, had never been done before at WrestleMania. Look at that photo. Look at that photo I have up on the screen right now, and tell me that is not an iconic image. To 8-year-old Solomonster, that image was everything. And I don't care what anybody says. I think the match gets its just rewards, but there are people who crap on it. One of the greatest matches in WrestleMania history. One of the greatest main events in WrestleMania history. Bar none. But it's not just the anniversary of WrestleMania 6. It is also the anniversary, 19 years to the day, of arguably the greatest top-to-bottom WrestleMania of all time. WrestleMania X7. I know some people might say WrestleMania 19. That show gets a lot of love. That's a popular choice, too. But I would give the nod to 17, right? Had a little bit of everything. Angle against Benoit, and that wasn't even their best match. You had the car crash that was TLC 2, which is still my favorite of all of the TLC matches. Some fun storyline bullshit with Vince McMahon and Shane McMahon and Linda McMahon rising from the dead. Had a fun old-timers battle royal with one last hurrah on commentary for Bobby the Brain Heenan. And we had an epic main event between Stone Cold and The Rock. And then we could just pretend that heel turn never happened. So that's a good question as we move on here to pose to all of you. I suppose it might depend on how old you are, but my question to everybody listening right now, which WrestleMania main event of those two was more epic to you? What was the more epic of these two WrestleMania main events if you had to vote? Hulk Hogan against The Ultimate Warrior, or Stone Cold Steve Austin against The Rock, Part 2, at WrestleMania 17. That seems like a good question to leave to all of you. Tonight's AEW show, and all live shows, well, kind of live, not really, going forward, have been moved to an undisclosed location somewhere in the southeast, reason being the city of Jacksonville, which is where Daly's Place is located. That's where they've been filming the last couple of weeks. Has designated a parking lot near Daly's Place as a testing center for it that shall not be named so as not to upset the YouTube gods. I think we all know what I'm talking about. And there was also an edict shutting down all hotels in the area except for essential personnel only. So what they did is they decided to move the event somewhere else. They decided to tape elsewhere. They apparently taped a whole bunch of matches yesterday and today. So this show did not air live, I don't believe, even though it said live on the screen. And it sounds like they have a couple of weeks worth of material already in the can. The governor of Florida has since issued a statewide stay-at-home order that takes effect tomorrow at midnight. And that is going to last 30 days. So that would seem to shut down any further WWE tapings at the Performance Center for at least the month of April. And it would affect AEW taping in Florida as well. Now, if they tape outside the state, then they can continue. But they should probably take this as a sign that maybe that just isn't a good idea. Maybe it's not the wisest thing for them to be doing. It looked to me like they probably, and I didn't have anybody tell me this, so don't, I'm not confirming anything, but from what I could tell, it looked like tonight's show was taped at the Nightmare Factory, which is a training facility that Cody uses. He trains there down in Georgia. You know, QT Marshall, we saw him on TV tonight. He's the head coach down there. It's got AstroTurf on the inside. If you go to the website for the Monster, not the Monster Factory, the Nightmare Factory. Monster Factory is a very different place. That is not in Georgia. But if you go to the website for the Nightmare Factory, you can see in the images that there is AstroTurf on the floor. And there was AstroTurf on the ground tonight as well. So it looks like that's the super secret location that they filmed. That would take them out of Florida, would take them away from the governor's stay-at-home order, except for one small little thing. The governor of Georgia is set to issue a very similar stay-at-home order for the entire state tomorrow. And that would take effect tomorrow all the way through, I believe, April 13th, although that could always be extended. So, my guess is, though, they've taped far enough ahead that it may not be an issue for them for now, but we'll see. You know, again, these things are changing every day. So, AEW is all business moving forward. They've got their matches all planned out. They're doing a tournament that I'm going to talk about here in a second. But all of that can change just like that, in a heartbeat. I thought tonight's show was very good. I enjoyed it. And we're going to get into that here in a second. Vote on Twitter right now. Thumbs up, thumbs down, the AEW poll, the NXT poll as well. Both of them are up. So you can go to @SolomonSir on Twitter. Hit the thumbs up button on this video, if you would be so kind. And hit that sub button if you are not subscribed. And of course, Super Chats, as you're already seeing, are open. And they will be mentioned on the air. Got disappointed, Solomonster, for $5. All the usual ones you can find down in the description below. You can donate anything. There's a whole bunch of random ones, but if you want to know the special ones, they're listed down below. Now, before we get to the Dynamite show tonight, there was a big announcement that AEW made concerning the addition of a new championship. This is an announcement I know a lot of you have been waiting a while for. This is an announcement that has been some time in the making. The brand new, it's basically what it is. If you think about it, it's a television title. It's really what it is. They're calling it the TNT Championship. It's a belt that Tony Khan says will bear the logo of the TNT Network. And they're going to be hosting a tournament to crown a new TNT champion. 8-man elimination tournament starting on next week's episode of Dynamite, the final scheduled for Double or Nothing, which is still set for May 23rd in Las Vegas. It will almost certainly be postponed, or at least not held in Las Vegas. I mean, there's no way. There's no way they're doing that show at the MGM Grand and getting people into that building. I don't see it. But it's smart. Look, if they insist on doing these shows, if they're going to continue on and they're going to do these tapings, it is smart to do a tournament. A tournament is a smart way to keep people's interest. It's a smart way to make these matches on TV mean something. If they're going to continue to do these empty arena shows, they have announced the brackets, and I'll switch right now. We already know what the brackets are going to be, so I'll put those up on the screen so you can take a look at them. Cody is going to be renewing his rivalry with Sean Spears, which he kind of did tonight on TV as well. Sean Spears has done absolutely nothing of note after his loss to Cody the first time they met. I see no reason for that to change here. And Darby Allin is going to be taking on Sammy Guevara. So, two rematches in this tournament. Darby and Sammy, they had a killer match at Revolution back in February. So, I have every expectation that that should be great. The winners of those two matches will face off in the semifinals. On the other side of the bracket, you see, as announced tonight, Superbad, Kip Sabian, he takes on The Natural, Dustin Rhodes, and Colt Boom Boom Cabana has the unfortunate responsibility of going one-on-one with the Murder Hawk Monster. That's what they're calling him, the Murder Hawk Monster, Lance Archer. And on commentary tonight, they were already teasing the possibility that Cody could be meeting his brother again. Remember they had that big match last year, Double or Nothing. Teasing Cody against Dustin maybe in the finals. That's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Here's how I see things playing out. Here's an early prediction for you. I see Cody over Spears, Darby over Sammy. That gives us Cody against Darby again. Now, I had that down even before we saw the finish of tonight's show. But the finish of tonight's show makes it obvious that's got to be where we're heading, is a Cody and Darby rematch. This time, Darby gets a win over Cody. He goes to the finals, and he gets to take on Lance Archer. And I think Lance Archer becomes the first TNT champion. So that is my early prediction. Lance Archer wins the championships or championship, and Darby goes all the way to the finals. Look, that title's got Darby's name written on it at some point. I just don't think it's going to happen in the finals of this tournament. So let's get to tonight's show. Actually, before I get to tonight's show, I'm already backlogged on Super Chats. I want to say thank you to Lord Frieza. Thank you for the Super Chat. I spoke to him via email, so it's good to talk to him. He says he was actually at WrestleMania 17, so that's cool. That must have been fun. How long did it take for the Iron Sheik to get to the ring? UI Khan, thank you for the $10, my friend. I appreciate that. Ismail Flores, thank you for the $5. Raffman says, "Hi, Solomonster." Well, hello, Raffman. Heel Lucas, thank you for the super chat. And Kevin, oh my God, showing some love for the podcast as well. I appreciate each and every one of you. Tony Schiavone was joined again this week on commentary, the first half of the show, by Cody and Pharaoh. Pharaoh the dog was there. Dasha Gonzalez handled the ring announcing tonight. Dasha Bot. She is Dasha Bot no more. She actually has a personality. If you watch her on some of these AEW YouTube videos, I tell you, if you missed the interview she did last year on YouTube with Chris Van Vliet, go back and watch it. It's a great interview. She's got a lot of personality, a lot of charisma. You would never know it if you watched her in WWE, but she is a naturally charismatic person. It's like, it's amazing. Dasha Bot is no more. She's like number Johnny Five from Short Circuit, struck by lightning, and now number Five is alive. I don't know how many of you are even going to get that reference. You never saw Short Circuit, Short Circuit 2? You're all at home, right? You got nothing better to do. I'm sure it's on Netflix or Hulu or Crackle or one of these services, Amazon. Go watch Short Circuit. Show open with Trent of the Best Friends against Kenny Omega. This was not for the AAA Mega Heavyweight title, which Omega successfully defended last week against Sammy Guevara. They had wrestlers in the crowd again this week, cheering, making noise. It does improve the show. I'm not sure that, this should be happening at all, but it does help the show. There's no doubt. There's no doubt about it. The show is better off when you have people making noise, hanging around ringside. They had a very good match. Came less than a minute away from going the full 20-minute time limit. Omega powerbombed Trent. Shout out to A. Lavelle. Thank you for the $20, man. There's the creepy Jeff Hardy. Appreciate that. Omega powerbombed Trent into one of the building columns. So there were giant columns that come down from the ceiling, and Omega powerbombed him right into it. Trent hit a nasty suplex off the top rope. It was almost like a German suplex, but he almost killed Omega. Omega landed right on his head, his shoulder, and Trent never really had his footing under him, so that was kind of scary. Only got a two count. Omega fought back, hit a V-trigger knee, one winged angel for the win with less than a minute left. So this was very good. We had Hikaru Shida against Anna Jay. Ah, yes. I didn't know who Anna Jay was. I still really don't know who she is. I've never heard of her. I've never seen her work before. But she is absolutely stunning, if I may say so. And she could work. I mean, it was only about 5 minutes, the match. But, oh yes, I would like to see much more of Anna Jay. She would make a nice, fine addition, I think, to the women's division here in AEW. So Britt Baker was at ringside. She was distracting Sheeta, shouting things at her. Back inside, Sheeta wrecked Anna with a forearm. Anna came back, hit a blockbuster for a two count. Sheeta caught her in the triangle choke. She made the ropes, though, did Anna Jay. Sheeta got the win with the knee strike and a falcon arrow. So, you know, like I said, went about 5 minutes. Not a terribly long match, but man, oh man, I would like to see more Anna Jay here on AEW Tel. And hey, not to take anything away from Hikaru Shida, she might be, you know, the best worker they have in that women's division in the entire company. And she's beautiful too. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all. Just brightened my day. We've had a lot of gloomy days, right? Everybody's stressed. Everybody's depressed. There's nothing wrong with appreciating that. That's what I say. We had a video package. John Moxley, Jake Hager, they are on a collision course. This was showing the history and the bad blood between them. I thought Moxley was very good here. Jericho had some comments as well. Hager was Hager. What can I say? I mean, I cannot get excited for Jake Hager challenging for the world championship. Just can't do it. I felt the same way. You guys know, if you listen to my show, you know how much I love Lucha Underground. I don't want to say they could do no wrong, but more often than not, I love Lucha Underground. And they made Hager out there to be this big monster and stuff, but the whole, you know, Jake Strong thing, I can never get into it. And I believe he might have been the last Lucha Underground champion, which is just a crime. Even there, I just couldn't buy him in the role. And I think it really does have to do with the fact that he just came in as damaged goods. He spent so much time in WWE and was just kept at a certain level. I don't know that even if he was pushed as a main eventer in WWE, that I necessarily would have really bought into him in that role. To me, he just doesn't rise into that elite level of what you would look for in a company. But look, you know, he's got the wrestling background. He's a big dude, you know, he's a hoss, whatever you want to call him. I get it. I get why they push him. I thought bringing him in as the heavy for Chris Jericho as part of his faction was the right role for him. Now that he's going to be challenging for the championship, and he's not going to win, I just can't bring myself to get excited about this. But I thought the video package was well done. You know, I thought it was well done. And they are going to be having a match in 2 weeks. They're building up Hager for the next title shot in 2 weeks on Dynamite in what they're calling an empty arena, no holds barred match. And for those of you who are wondering as far as where Hager falls in the pecking order with the rankings, there you see on your screen. Coming into the show tonight, those are the men's rankings in AEW. There you see number one is still Chris Jericho. So why he isn't getting the next shot, I don't know. Shouldn't it be Chris Jericho getting the next championship match? There's Jake Hager, number two, undefeated 4-0. Cody, number three, he's not even allowed to challenge for the championship. Kenny Omega, number four. And Darby Allin, rounding out the rankings at number five. So that is the way that things stand at this moment. Next up was the in-ring debut, the in-ring debut, as Matt Riddle would say, of the Murder Hawk Monster, Lance Archer, taking on Marco Stunt. Jake Roberts, he was not physically there. He is very old. He should not be on the show. He should not be amongst people with what is going on. So he cut a promo. He said that Cody, he might be smarter than he gave him credit for. He said Cody might be smart enough to be afraid of Lance Archer. Either that or his better half is ordering him to stay away. Said that basically Brandy is the one that wears the pants in the family. Colt Cabana, he replaced Cody on commentary for this match and the rest of the show. Cody was going to be in the main event, so Colt took over on commentary. He faces Archer in the TNT title tournament. So Archer comes out, and he storms his way around the ring. He knocked over one of the grips, they said, at ringside, one of the production guys, just mowed him down. He murdered this young child. I mean, I guess they call him the Murder Hawk, right? So it fits the gimmick. He murdered this young boy. I said on Twitter, this match was child abuse. He gave him a release. Now, you've heard of a release German suplex. You've heard of a release belly-to-belly suplex. This was a release suplex from one end of the ring to the other. He tossed him across the ring. Marco, he did get some very limited, and I do mean limited, offense in, but it did not turn out well for Marco's stunt. Archer shoulder tackled him right out of the ring, gave him the pounce at one point. He followed that up. He followed that pounce up with the biggest goddamn choke slam that I have ever seen. The height, the ferocity of it. He destroyed this young boy with this choke slam. And then he got the win with the blackout. This was the perfect debut for Lance Archer. Nothing but total destruction, total chaos. Every move was impressive. Every move made you go, oh! It made you go, oh! That was my reaction pretty much to every move in this match. And that is exactly what you want to do. You want to get this guy over as a monster. And I thought this was a complete and total success in what they were looking to accomplish. After the match, he chokeslammed Marco out onto Orange Cassidy. There were a bunch of other dudes in the crowd. This was total destruction. Really, no other way to put it. That's what this was. This was complete and utter destruction. Shout out to one of our wrenches, one of our mods in the chat. Show some love for CJ La Chapelle. Thank you for the $10. Savage King, thank you for the super chat. Appreciate it. Digital Lizard with the $5 super chat. And we got Brandon Walker as well. Thank you. Said, discovers you while he was deployed to Iraq. And he plans to keep on listening. Well, thank you for your service. I appreciate that. Appreciate the love. Jacob Donnelly, thank you for the $10. Soggy Fries with the super chat. Says, watching AEW Dynamite is like eating a nice piece of delicious grilled steak on a plate. You know, you just got me hungry. You know what my dinner was tonight? Peanut butter. Peanut butter on white toast. That was my dinner tonight. I'm quickly running out of options. I have to learn how to cook. That's what I have to do. So thank you for throwing that in my face. I appreciate it. I just want to give a quick shout out here to The Ridge. One way to support this show is by using our link and our code to buy you or somebody you know a Ridge wallet. You've heard me talk about them a lot these last several months. Now with everything going on, they're pulling back on things. I imagine they're probably pulling back on different campaigns and stuff. So if you are interested in getting 10% off and free shipping on your Ridge wallet, now is the time to take advantage before it's too late. Go to ridge.com/solomonster. Use the code SOLOMONSTER at checkout. I'm sure more sponsors are going to be scaling things back in the weeks and months to come. You know, I had a whole calendar. It was great. It's like, man, things were really taking off. You know, got all these different sponsors, spaced things out, different reviews. Things were going well. And then everything seems to just have gone to shit in these last 3 weeks. And so naturally, some people are pulling out. They're pulling back. They're scaling back on things, which is understandable. That's one of the consequences of what's going on. So your support, believe me, is very much appreciated whenever you use our link. Again, ridge.com/solomonster is the URL to use. Mr. Brody Lee. Let's talk about Mr. Brody Lee of the Dark Order. We got another vignette. This time he was in a classroom. He's in a conference room somewhere with the various masked members of the Dark Order sitting around. And he tells one of them, he goes, you know, I was once lost, I was once downtrodden, but now I stand before you as the Exalted One. And he yelled at one of his minions for referring to him incorrectly. I think he called him the Exalted One. He said, no, it's Mr. Brody. I guess that's like Mr. Backlund, right? There was a time, I don't know if he still does this, where Bob Backlund would not sign an autograph for you. If you saw Bob Backlund at the mall, right? I don't know why Bob Backlund would ever be at the fucking mall, but just pretend he was at the mall. If you bumped into Bob Backlund at the mall and wanted an autograph, he wouldn't give you one. He wouldn't give you one unless you referred to him as Mr. Backlund. That was very important. Mr. Backlund. And you would have to correctly recite the names in order of all of the U.S. presidents. So I'm guessing Bob Backlund didn't sign too many autographs, but it was Mr. Backlund. So here it's Mr. Brody. That's what it has to be. Then he yelled at another masked guy. I guess the guy yawned, and he's probably watching SmackDown on his phone. He said, "What's going on here? You yawning?" He goes, "Nothing's open. How can you be tired?" Says yawning is a sign of weakness. This wasn't as good as the segment last week of him eating a steak and yelling at the guy who was sneezing, but yeah, they're establishing the fact that basically he's like a brutal dictator. He's a shitty boss, is the exalted one. So then we had a match. Two members of the Dark Order, who they referred to as 8 and 9. That's what they called them. They had masks on, have no idea who they were. 8 and 9 of the Dark Order took on QT Marshall and Dustin Rhodes, who call themselves now the Natural Nightmares, managed by Brandy. And 8 and 9 got some offense in. Dustin, QT, they fought back, won the match with their tandem flapjack. So no big surprise that the babyfaces got the win. That brought out Brody Lee. The Exalted One comes out. He power bombed 8. I think it was 8. Maybe it was 9. I think it was 8. 9 minus 8 leaves 1. See? Not that terrible at math after all. So I watched this and I thought to myself, I said, you know, we're 2 weeks in now, right? Since the big reveal of Brody Lee as the Exalted One. And what I've gotten out of this is that Brody Lee came to AEW to lead a faction of nameless jobbers. It's basically what he did, right? Ever since we've seen him, he's been nothing but pissed off at all the people that he commands. He yells at them, he abuses them verbally. They can't win a match to save their lives. I'm not sure that this is much of an upgrade from what he was doing in WWE. You know, when I heard him on Talk Is Jericho, and he said that up until the day they released him, they were giving him contract offers. And they were offering him ungodly money, he said. It could have been double, triple, quadruple what he was making. And he knew they weren't going to use him. They knew he was just going to keep him home. And I'm watching this and I'm starting to think to myself, I go, brother, you got a raw deal. You should have taken the money and sat at home. You'd be sitting at home anyway. Everybody's quarantined. Nobody's going anywhere. You could have gotten paid to do nothing. I think you may have got a bum rap. I think you got a raw deal. So then we cut to Chris Jericho. Actually, before I get to Chris, Food Hive, thank you for the super chat. I appreciate it. He says, I'm a chef in Dallas. I have recipes on my page for those who cannot cook. Quarantine meals for the Sound Off family. That's very cool. That's very cool. Email that to me. Tweet me or email me the link and I'll check that out. I desperately need to know how to cook some stuff. I can cook a couple of things. I shouldn't say I don't cook anything, right? I mean, I can, you know, do toast in the toaster oven. I could open a can of soup, right? I could do that. I can make eggs. Had eggs for breakfast this morning. Probably do chicken cutlets, right? It'd be hard to fuck up chicken cutlets, but beyond that, I'm completely hopeless. So then we cut to Chris Jericho. This was probably the highlight of the show, and not that this was a bad show. I just very much enjoyed this segment. This was one of those segments I think you either really loved or you absolutely hate, like Jim Cornette, the kind of segment Jim Cornette would just throw furniture if he saw it. But I loved it. So Jericho is at his palatial estate. He's outside lounging in his hot tub. He's got a little bit of the bubbly. He says, today is a holiday. He goes, April Fool's Day. And he's never met bigger fools than the elite. Tells Nick Jackson, stay at home. As he's talking, we hear a buzzing from overhead. And it is Vanguard One. Vanguard One arrives at the Jericho estate and Jericho spots him. He says, Vanguard One, I knew you'd come. And he's almost going to apologize to him for what happened the week before. Jericho, I think he was wearing pants, actually. When he got out of the hot tub, it looked like he was wearing pants, which is kind of strange. Randy Orton would never do that. So Jericho, again, he offers Vanguard One a spot in the inner circle. He has a tiny t-shirt. He goes, here, I have a shirt, like the NWO. I have a shirt for you. And he hangs the shirt on the drone, and he goes, what do you say? And Vanguard One disappears. He flies away, and Jericho says, "Release the hounds." And we see a whole bunch of dogs. We see a couple of little dogs that just aren't doing anything. They're just staring, going, "What the fuck is going on here? This is stupid. What a mark you are, Jericho." The other dogs are running after the drone, and Jericho is shouting at it, calls it a son of a bitch. I thought this was great. I thought this segment was tremendous. This was comedy done right. I love this segment. Then we got a Young Bucks video package. Nick Jackson, of course, he's been out injured in storyline. We see him and his brother Matt. They had a ring shipped out to where Nick Jackson is to help him train, to help him, you know, get his sea legs back underneath him and, you know, try to get back into wrestling shape. And he's talking about, you know, with everything going on in the world and what happened to me, it's like you don't take anything for granted and, you know, giving everybody basically a pep talk here. He's not quite ready to come back yet, but he hopes to be soon. Then we got to the main event. Cody, Darby Allin against Sean Spears and Sammy Guevara. Good main event. The highlight probably was the coffin drop off the pole. So outside the ring, this wasn't a column. This was a pole. He scaled the pole probably 8 or 10 feet up in the air, did a coffin drop, wiped out the heels on the floor. We get to the finish. Darby yanks a chair out from the hands of Sean Spears. Sean Spears, of course, is the chairman, calls himself the chairman. He's going to whack Cody again with the chair. Darby snatched it out of his hands. Sammy distracted. I think Sammy may have taken the chair out of Darby's hands. And with Darby distracted, Sean Spears rolls up Darby Allin for the win. A rare win for Sean Spears. Which, I guess, because you know he's losing to Cody in the tournament. You gotta throw him a bone, I guess. That's what this was. I'm sure Darby is advancing. I'm sure Cody is advancing. So you give Sean Spears a win. Now he can gloat. Now it seems like he has a chance, even though he really doesn't. So Spears picks up the win. Darby was not happy when the match was over. He nailed Cody. I don't think it was a heel turn or anything like that, but he was very frustrated, knocked down Cody, and that's how they went off the air. So I thought it was a good show. Overall, they set things up for the tournament now coming up. I do think if they insist on continuing to do these shows, and I question the wisdom in doing this, but if they're going to continue to do these empty building shows, a tournament is a fantastic idea. It's a great way to keep people engaged, and it gives them content. It puts meaning behind the matches that we're seeing on TV between now and the end of May. If they're building to Double or Nothing, that's May 23rd. Again, I don't think Double or Nothing is happening. Unless they just do Double or Nothing in the, you know, where they taped television this week, you know, at the training facility. They could do that. But there's no way that Vegas is going to be back open and they're going to get people into the building for that pay-per-view. It's too soon. It's too soon. I don't see it happening. Jared, holy shit, with the $50 bomb. $50 super chat from Jared. Thank you, brother. We usually hear from Jared each week, and Jared is a very loyal supporter of the show. He's a good dude, fellow New Yorker. So thank you to him. And Gavin, thank you for the super chat as well. I appreciate it. He says, if you want to learn how to cook, go watch, what is his name? Binging with Babish? Binging with Babish on YouTube. He, Ace, is also a New Yorker like you. All right, well, I'll have to check that out. Binging with Babish. I thought that said Binging with Bobbitt at first. It's like John Wayne Bobbitt. Lorena Bobbitt. That's taken me back. I don't know why I thought of that for some reason. I don't need to be reliving that. I'll check that out. Binging with Babish. I will have to check that out. Let's take a look at the polls. Let's check that out. How about that? Here's the AEW Dynamite poll so far. 83% of you say it was a thumbs up show. 16% of you said thumbs down. And we have already almost 1,000 votes in, so that's the AEW poll. And, well, that's not the poll. There we go. On the NXT side, about 650 votes in so far. 63% thumbs up, 37% thumbs down. This is remarkably consistent. I have to say, you guys are consistent, if nothing else. Every single week, it's pretty much the same range. AEW is between 80 and 90 up. Between 15 and 20 down percent. And then I look over at NXT and it's the same thing where it's, you know, between 60 and 65% typically. maybe between 65 and 70% thumbs up, and then in the range of 35% or so thumbs down. So it's been very consistent now for many, many weeks. And that's a good score. I thought NXT last week was good, but it falls short most weeks of AEW Dynamite. AEW is usually a more enjoyable, consistently good show. Consistently good. That's the best way that I could put it as far as AEW goes. Chris Quillman, thank you for the super chat, my friend. Sound off fam, he says, needs a drinking game for Dynamite. Yeah, you know, in this whole lockdown situation here in New York, the one thing I'm not doing, I don't think I'm drinking nearly enough. There's an article in the New York Post today. Are people drinking too much here during the quarantine? I say I'm not drinking enough. So a drinking game sounds good to me. Before we get to some of your calls, my plan is tomorrow, and I got to get the artwork first, otherwise I'm not doing anything, but tomorrow I'm hoping to possibly go live on YouTube for the WrestleMania predictions show. So there may be a sound off extra tomorrow afternoon. I was thinking around 3 p.m. Eastern. I don't want to lock that time in. I'm hoping sometime tomorrow afternoon I will be live back here again on YouTube doing WrestleMania predictions. I'll run down the entire card, all the latest news heading into the big pay-per-view this weekend. There's 16 matches announced for this WrestleMania show. It's a lot to get through. And I've got predictions for all of you. It's a taped show. I haven't seen any results. Don't care to know any of the results. So we're doing predictions tomorrow. So you can join me then. If you are home, if you are working from home, if you're bored, if you've got nothing better to do, come on over and join me live. I just don't know exactly when that'll be. So follow me on Twitter. I'm sure I can keep everybody updated there as far as an exact time is concerned. So we'll do that. We'll have some fun. We'll have some fun tomorrow. Let's shoot on over here to the phone lines. And just chat with some of you here before we wrap things up here on a Wednesday night, April Fool's Day. Not really big on April Fool's pranks. I never really got the appeal of it. I have to remind myself every year, first thing in the morning when I wake up, it is April Fool's. Do not forget. One year I got caught. I got caught, and I think the headline, I don't remember what year it was, but I think I got caught, and the headline was like John Cena busted for like cocaine possession or something, and I was like, see, I knew it! All that never give up bullshit, goody two shoes shit. And then I realized, fuck, it's April Fool's. But I bought into it for about 30 seconds there. Scurried over to my computer to get all the details, only to find out that I was bamboozled. John Cena has a coke habit, he's keeping it to himself. Let's go to area code 651. You're on the air.
What up, Sal Monster? It is Brandon from Florida.
Hey, Brandon, what's going on?
Nothing much. Great show. I only have a problem. The whole Brody Lee gimmick, when he first came in, marked out amazing, but like, I don't know. I feel like it's not clicking. Like for me, I don't know. I'm not intrigued to see what happens next.
Yeah, I think the problem is that they've just positioned the Dark Order as just a bunch of losers. You know, they're a bunch of dorks. So, somebody emailed me the other day. They're like the Dork Order. That's really what it is. If you think about it, that's really what this faction. So I don't know if he's just going to clean house and get rid of all the jabrones and then bring in some quality names. I don't know what the kind of the long-term plan is for this group. I thought the segment last week was good. The segment this week wasn't as good, but it was fine. They're doing character development here. But yeah, this just who he has surrounded himself with is not doing him any favors.
Yeah, and then real quick, shout out to my boy Turtlehead, my advocate in the live stream. Just giving him a shout out. Just one more quick question.
Sure.
Buy or sell on like the shittier like owner that needs to go, James Dolan or Vince McMahon?
I gotta go, James Dolan. I have to. When was the last winning season for the Knicks? Plus, he's just a complete douchebag. I could go on about Dolan. I can go on about Vince McMahon too, but at least Vince McMahon has, he's had some proven success, and he doesn't exactly run a complete loser of an organization. My brother would be very angry if he heard me say that. My brother's a diehard New York Knicks fan. I keep saying to him, why? Why? And then he'll turn around and say, well, you're a Mets fan. And then that just shuts me down real quick. So I have no rebuttal. I have no rebuttal for that when he throws that in my face. Let's go to 571. You're on the air. 571.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing, Solid Monster?
Good. How are you?
I'm good, man. This is Johnny from Washington, D.C. area.
Hey,
Hopefully,
Johnny.
you and your family, friends, everybody's doing good with everything going on.
What'd you think of the show tonight?
Show was pretty good, man. I think they kind of fell off last week, but I think they kind of got back on track this week and kind of liking the direction. Some things are kind of slowing down. Obviously, some feuds that aren't really happening, but like I said, I think we got back on track.
Yeah, look, it's weird. It's still weird to me watching these shows. The whole empty arena thing, and tonight they were in a different building. It felt like they were just wrestling in a warehouse somewhere. After a while, you kind of forget about it a little bit, and having the noise, from the people at ringside, that helps with the vibe. It's a more enjoyable vibe. But look, WWE, AEW, I still maintain, man, if this proves one thing, wrestling needs to be held in front of an audience. It is an audience-driven
Definitely.
business, and it depresses the shit out of me when I see these empty buildings. But what, look, they're making the most of it, and we'll see how much longer they can go on for. It feels like all these different states are putting these orders in place to shut everything down. So eventually, you can't outrun these orders. They're going to have to comply at
Yeah.
some point.
Yeah, it's crazy you said that. I'm in the DC area, and they just shut down DC, Maryland, and Virginia, like literally a couple days ago.
Oh
So
yeah.
it's crazy. So, hey, and I just want to say thank you to you, man. We're similar ages. I fell out of love with wrestling, and your podcast over like the past 5 or 6 years has kind of helped me get back into it. And I'm loving these AEW live streams, man. Every Wednesday, I tune in right after the show. I'm loving it. You got me hooked on Dark Side of the Ring. I binged that in one day. So loving all the content, man.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Hey, but
Now, have
no
you, and
problem.
I'm gonna get into this on Sunday. I don't want to really get into it now, but have you seen the latest episode on New Jack?
Yeah, I was teleworking today at home, and I was like, hey, I think that new episode's up. I binged it, and every episode's just as good as the last. It's crazy.
Was that not good, wholesome family entertainment when you watch the episode about New Jack?
You know what? I can tell I'm getting old because, like, some of the stuff, like, I was cringing, like you kind of talk about with chair shots and like I was like cringing, like, oh my gosh, I can't. I'm an old man. I don't like watching this kind of stuff anymore. But it was I was by the time it was over, I was like, oh my gosh, I wanted like 30 more minutes about this guy.
Yeah, he's
Thank you.
he's something else. I'll have a lot to say about him on Sunday.
Yeah, man. But like I say, thanks, man. I enjoy listening to you tune in every week. I know you got a lot of callers, so I'm gonna jump off. I just had a couple questions,
Sure.
and I love your podcast because I like the stuff when you kind of go into like you a little bit more than just some of the wrestling stuff. So a couple questions I had, man, are like, what is your go-to podcast? Like, what are you listening to? Like every week, hey, the way a lot of us listen to you every week, who do you have to listen to? I was recently watching a old Wrestle Talk podcast. And they specifically shouted you out. I think Ollie Davis was like, hey, Solid Monster, I listen to that dude every week. And I thought that was kind of cool. So, what kind of podcast do you listen to? And just a second quick question is, in your life, whether it's you or someone that you know, have you, like, what's the best, like, real-life promo you've seen someone cut on someone else? I love the one of your dad going off on the dude on the phone. I said, oh, man, he's cutting a promo, so. Like maybe you with a repairman or someone you saw, your brother, someone, man, like a real life probably like, oh, I can't believe I just saw that. So, hey, I'm gonna jump off, man. Love the show and keep doing your thing, man.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that. I'll take the last question first. Honestly, I was gonna. It's funny you brought that up because I was gonna say probably the phone conversation that my dad had with the real estate agent. So if you listen to the opening intro of the full podcast every Sunday, what he's referring to, there's a clip in there, many, many, many years ago. We were living in a different apartment, and we were having issues with the landlord. They were just being dicks, and we were kind of warned about them, but we got along with them until, of course, we didn't. Whatever happened, there was a falling out, and they were trying to get us out. They were trying everything to get us out because I think they just wanted to, I don't know, up the rent or sell the house, whatever they were looking to do. And they had this real estate agent from Century 21 just hounding a constant phone calls, and my parents would just ignore them and ignore them. And the person was always asking for Mrs. Solomon, right? Never Mr. Solomon. Always looking for Mrs. Solomon. And that rubbed my father the wrong way. It's like, well, boy, he seems to really want to talk to you, you know, as if he feels like, you know, he can kind of beat up on you, I guess. So one day my father answered the phone, much to the surprise of the real estate agent. And, you know, I have the whole conversation was recorded. And it was interesting. And I was there when it happened. So I couldn't hear at the time what the guy was saying. I can only see my father's reaction. He was very calm, which is very unusual for my father, because usually he'd be the first person to go off. And he was a truck driver, so he had some very colorful language, shall we say. And then the real estate agent, I guess, just didn't like the answer that he gave because my father had threatened to report him to the Better Business Bureau or something. And the guy went off and he said, hey, don't fucking threaten me. And I listen back to it now and I'm like, I know it's coming, but I listen to it. I'm like, oh, shit. It's like if you were looking for a trigger word, you know what I mean? It's like, okay, there it is. Open the floodgates. So then my father went off on him and, you know, he's defending my mom. He's defending his wife. Basically. So you don't talk to her, you talk to me. Guess what? We didn't hear from that real estate agent again after that. We lived in that apartment for another 3 years. So I look back on that fondly. As far as your first question, it's weird. Like, I honestly, like, right now, I have a lot of different things going on. I'm trying to keep my job with everything going on, my full-time job. And then all the podcast stuff. There really isn't one podcast I listen to consistently on a set day every single week. There's a lot of really great wrestling podcasts and YouTube shows, and I'm sure you guys know most of them. Of course, you guys, I was just on one just a couple of weeks ago. You know, I did a guest spot on Wrestling Soup with Mish and Joey. It was good talking to those guys. You know, I haven't been on the show in, I think, 3 years, so I was talking to them. You know, Damian Nelson, David Hero, they do a great job with PWR. I was just on PWR Primetime on Fight TV with them on Monday. Going in Raw, Steven Larson, great dudes. You know, finally got to meet them a few years ago. I think it was at WrestleCon. And so they've got their show. And I mean, there's so I hate even naming specific ones here because now I'm going to leave a whole bunch of them out because there's a whole bunch of good ones out there. You know, DTKC, they do their own thing. And Just so many good ones. There's so many good ones, and they're all doing their thing, and it's great. But right now, there's no one that I am consistently listening. I am so far behind on everything, it is not even funny. There's like a whole bunch of Netflix shows now I'm trying to get through, and it's hopefully I will be able to get to all of that now that everyone seems to be stuck at home and we all have some downtime. But I'm sorry to say that I have not been able to dedicate as much time recently as I would like to some of the other podcasts, but there's a whole bunch of great shows out there. Whole bunch of them. You know who you are. You know who you are. I interact with a lot of them on Twitter, so you can pretty much figure out who they are. Let's see here. Let's take a few more. Let's go to, let's see here, 502.
Mr. Monster.
Mr. Monster, is this Chris?
Yes, it is.
Hey, Chris, thank you for the support earlier. I appreciate it.
Oh, that's no problem. That's no problem. I finally figured out how to work a phone this week.
Ah, it's a hard thing to do, let me tell you. It's a hard thing. I'm trying to just make sure this computer doesn't crap out on me right now because I'm lagging like shit. Hopefully the stream isn't lagging for everybody.
Well, I wasn't sure if it was on your end or if it was my phone.
No. You're good. I hear you loud and clear.
All right, cool. Yeah, I watched the show tonight. It was pretty solid, you know, same as always. But kind of piggybacking off of the last caller, I've been listening. Well, you know, we ain't got much to do, so I've been kind of binging different podcasts, and I've been listening to, not to bring up WWF, but Corey Graves' podcast. And it's kind of strange. It's kind of a 50-50 thing with me. I've been, because I listen to your podcast and that's basically the only wrestling podcast. And when I started listening to his, naturally I'm going to compare it to yours. And it's weird because he actually, like, there's times where he kind of says some of the same stuff that, you know, you think or the opinions you have or that I have. And I was like, wow, I don't understand the night and day difference, you know?
Well, here's what I think is going, and I could be totally wrong. This is just my opinion. And I don't listen to Corey Graves' podcast unless there's like a really interesting guest that's on there. My guess is, though, like I'll read recaps of some of the, you know, opinions that he gives on certain things. I almost think, I don't want to say that he's just kind of forcing some of these opinions, but if he just gave it straight where it was praise for all these different WWE things, he would get accused of being, you know, a WWE ass kisser. And so you've got to kind of pick and choose what you, what kind of criticisms, I guess, like what segments you might criticize and stuff like that. Does he really feel that way? Maybe. Maybe he does. And maybe he has the freedom to talk about whatever he wants to talk about. But I almost feel like maybe he feels he has to agree on occasion with what some of the podcasters are talking about. Just because if he didn't, you'd have all these accusations, and maybe people already accuse him of, oh, you work for WWE, you're just kissing ass. Of course, you thought this was great and that was great. So, again, I don't know. I don't know him, so I can't speak to any of that. I've heard you know, people who have said that, you know, his show is not bad, and I've had other people say that they think it's a very biased show. So everybody's got their opinion. He does his thing, I do mine, and you know, I don't really have any other thoughts on it beyond that.
Yeah, I kind of see it. I mean, that's pretty. I mean, it's actually kind of both, really. I mean, when I've been listening to, he actually will make fun of himself being a WWE shill robot. You know, there's a few times, but then again, you kind of question how genuine it is. I guess, you know. I don't know.
I hope and I assume that he is, you know, he has the freedom to give his opinion straight. And that the opinions that he gives is, you know, they're genuine. I hope so. But I could see where maybe he would kind of, what's a good word? Vacillate. There's a good word. He would, you know, he would kind of be a little wishy-washy on some things. And maybe he would go against the grain and go against the company just so that people don't look at the show and just accuse him of being completely biased. Because that's the risk, right? You work for WWE, or if you work for AEW or any promotion and you're doing a podcast, then that podcast is in the WWE Podcast Network. You know, so it's just natural that you're going to have those kinds of accusations thrown at you. Oh, yeah, of course, you're going to, you know, shill for WWE, and you're going to like this and you're going to like that, and SmackDown, your girlfriend is on the show. There's a lot of conflict of interest. There's a lot of conflict of interest going on with that show. But if he has the freedom to give his opinion straight and that's how he feels, then hey, God bless him.
Well, it is an AEW podcast,
yes,
so I'm going to go on and hit you with a question. So, you know, everybody knows they announced the title, the new title.
Yes.
Who do you think will be like the first program for that? Who do you think will be like the first, I guess, like rivalry for that? Like, we know somebody's going to win from the tournament, but after that, who do you think is going to go head-to-head for that?
So basically, who's going to be coming out of the tournament challenging for the championship?
Yeah, because you know they're going to build some kind of – I mean, they're good at building a feud, so
yeah.
Who do you think is going to feud over that at first?
Well, I mean, and I'm going to let you go. That's a good question, but I said I think Archer is going to win it. I think it's going to come down to him and Darby, but I think Archer gets it. And then it would make sense, you know, coming out, maybe Darby and him extend their feud, have more matches. The problem with that is if Archer wins the championship, I don't even know that he has to be honest with you. I mean, he doesn't have to win the championship to just kind of get over as this giant murderous monster. I mean, he did a pretty good job of that tonight. But if he does win the championship and Darby is going to continue and challenge him again, he's going to lose again. So maybe it would almost be better to get away from that and then come back to it later on. If Archer wins and he moves on to somebody else, who can he feud with? Who can he defend against? Who's a good babyface for him to go up against, you know, if not Darby Allin? You know, honestly, I could see them doing something maybe with, you know, like a Dustin Rhodes or something. you got to give Archer some big wins. You know, you got to put him on a streak where he's just mowing guys down, and then you can build right to the big challenger. I had one person, a friend of mine said, "Oh, I'm surprised MJF is not in this tournament." Well, I wasn't surprised at all. I didn't expect him to be. He doesn't have to be. Because if Jon Moxley is going to get past Jake Hager in 2 weeks, unless his next match, let's say a double or nothing, if there is a double or nothing, is going to be a rematch with Jericho, which it may well be, who would you say would be the next in line to challenge for the championship? I don't have the rankings in front of me. I would think MJF. Wouldn't Jon Moxley and MJF be a natural, you know, main event? Would Moxley or MJF rather not be in line for a shot at the championship? So I would save him for that. There's no need for him to be in this tournament. But I think that's how I see things progressing for Archer. It could be Darby, it could be somebody like Dustin Rhodes, whoever it's going to be coming out of the tournament, though. He's got to win. He's got to win, 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 win. Go on this streak of just killing dudes. I really did enjoy that. I enjoyed that match, if you call it a match. I call it a slaughter tonight against Marco Stunt. Some people would look at that and go, "What a ridiculous matchup this is." I look at this and I go, "Marco was the perfect first opponent for Lance Archer. Could sell for all of his moves. He doesn't even have to sell. I mean, for God's sake, he's throwing him around. All you got to do is land. Just go splat. You don't even have to sell." Marco Stunt is like 130 pounds soaking wet. He's throwing this guy around like he's a small baby, like he's a child. It made this guy look like a madman. I love what they did with him tonight. Let's go to 678.
Jason, what's up?
What's going on? Who am I talking to?
CJ.
Oh, it's CJ. Shout out to the wrench in the chat. Show some love for our mod.
Yeah. And pray for Bobby.
Yes.
He's not doing that well, unfortunately. But anyway, I've been talking about to whoever runs the YouTube channel for Conan. And we were talking about Dolph. For, yeah, we know he's been treated like shit for the last couple of years, unfortunately. Sickening. But I think he's talented enough where if you pushed him really hard for 4 or 5 months, maybe even just 3 months, you could get him back where people care and believe enough and then put the title on him.
We talking about Dolph
Not saying
Ziggler?
it's gonna. Of course, what other
Oh,
Dolph is there?
no. Now, look, here's the thing with Dolph. Here, and I've said this before. Dolph is obviously very talented. They keep him around because they find value in him. They've made him a tag team champion with Drew McIntyre when McIntyre came back to the main roster. Who's the first person they put him with? Dolph Ziggler, right? And they vaulted him into the main event scene, feuding with The Shield and Roman and whoever they were feuding with at the time. Then they put him together with Bobby Roode. I think they were tag team champions. Now he's been part of this storyline, which is more of a mid-card storyline. But Dolph's the kind of utility player who they can rely on. They know he's talented. They know what he can do. They know he can make other people look good, right? In a lot of ways, he's kind of like the Curt Hennig of this era in that way. He can bump around. He can make people look good. The ship, though, on Dolph Ziggler, as far as being in the role that you just described, like, oh man, if you just kind of push him seriously for 4 or 5 months, no, it doesn't matter if it's 4 or 5 months, 9 months, or a year.
I disagree. I
No,
think he has the
I think you're
talent where
wrong
he
on
could
this.
do it.
I
He's
think you're wrong.
never totally dead. Why do
No,
you say that?
I think you're wrong. I think you're wrong. Now, look, some you might be able to buy into it.
But
I'm
look
gonna
at
bet.
Kofi. Look at Kofi, though.
Well, but that was
No
different,
one
though. But
would have thought that.
Kofi was no.
Why?
Kofi was more of an emotional story because he like now Dolph's been in the company a long time too. I'm not saying Dolph's actually
Yeah.
been in the company maybe longer, maybe a year or two longer than Kofi. I have to check and see.
Very close. Yeah, I got checked.
Kofi was never, ever pushed at a world championship level. Dolph Ziggler has been the world heavyweight champion before. Dolph Ziggler has
Yes.
had pay-per-view like big pay-per-view title matches against
That's
Edge.
another thing. You could say he's been champion before, so it's not that unrealistic.
Yes, but the thing is, he's been slotted in such a way, he's been slotted lower down on the card for so long, And when people were ready, you want to know when people were ready, I think, to really just go all in on Dolph Ziggler, what his Kofi moment was, to use that analogy?
It was 2014.
Right.
2000 was the lone Survivor Series.
Right. 2014, Sting dragged him on top of Rollins. He got the win.
Yeah, they did the stupid firing angle. That was golly.
That was stupid. You could call it what it is. It was stupid what they did. I think we could all agree.
Ridiculous.
That, to me, if you were going to do what you just described, that was the time to do it. They didn't do it. The window closed. And Dolph Ziggler is the perfect example. If you don't strike when the iron is hot, you may not have that chance again. I disagree. I don't think that you can do that with Dolph and have people take him seriously. I don't think he can do it. So talented.
It's like, if there's somebody that could pull it off like that, it's him.
Okay. I disagree, but teach them. Really? I mean,
I'm kind of shocked with your answer.
Well, you shouldn't be. If you've listened to what I've had to say for years now, because I've talked about Dolph a lot on my show.
Yeah, you have.
We've had these conversations before, and people have emailed me in the mailbag and stuff, and I've talked about Dolph a lot, and I used to be a bigger fan of Dolph. I was one of those guys who was completely demoralized when they would pull the plug, and it looked like they were going to push him, and then they wouldn't. And then one day they broke me.
Yeah.
They broke me, and I said, you know what? I don't give a shit anymore. I don't care.
Can't blame you. I can't blame you.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm sure I'm not the only one. There might be people in the chat right now who feel the same way that I do. Maybe there's people in the chat who agree with you. We'll see. But I think that moment has come and gone. I think it's – and look, Kofi, right? You just mentioned Kofi. There were people who were very upset with how Kofi lost the title. They thought maybe this year people were going to rise up. Let's give Kofi his moment again. It wasn't fair to him. Kofi's the same way. I cannot see Kofi Kingston ever again being in that same position and pushed as either the world champion, the WWE champion, Universal, whatever. He had his moment. He had 6 months as the champion. They really, if you think about it, they booked him very strong. He went over a whole bunch of people in those 6 months. That's it. So for the people who might email me and go, hey, do you think Kofi could get his moment in 2021? Could we have one more moment for Kofi? You could. I would give it to Big E before I give it to Kofi. Kofi had his moment.
Oh, I would love to see that.
Yeah, Kofi had his moment. But anyway, let's. Anyway, anything else before we move on here?
I think we're good. I'll call back next week, maybe.
All right, awesome. Thank you for all the help in the chat, as always, brother.
You're very welcome.
All right, take care. The Dolph Ziggler debate. Yeah, let me know in the chat what you guys think. Whose side do you fall on here? Do you think that if Dolph Ziggler suddenly was going to be pushed again for the dozen times now, 13 times, maybe they'll try again with Dolph Ziggler? Do you think that he's that talented that in 3 or 4 or 5 months they could build him up to where you would care to see him challenging for the championship and being in big pay-per-view main events? Or has that ship sailed? I think it's sailed. And it's not coming back. But he has his role in the company. He can contribute. He's a member of the team. He'll probably be in the Hall of Fame one day. He's been there long enough. He's held a lot of championships. But I think those days are over. Let's see here. Downtown Kenny Brown. Downtown Kenny Brown. Oh my goodness. $50. Says, I hope New York is not as crazy as Japan. I think New York is a lot worse off than Japan, unfortunately. It's getting scary around here. So hopefully wherever you are, Kenny, you are safe and sound. Thank you for the $50, my friend. Chris Ludek, thank you for the $5. Says, at least the Mets made the World Series in 2015. The best thing the Knicks did was second round of the playoffs in 2013, and they didn't get Zion. No, they did not. There's a lot of people they didn't get. There's a lot of people that didn't get LeBron either. Ismael Flores, again, dropping some super chat action here on the show. Brian Cage is coming to AEW soon. Just watch. Also, how would you book Brian Cage in AEW? That's a good point. You know, Brian Cage, before he got hurt, had just... I don't know if he's signed. I don't want to say that he's signed. I don't know that. But the belief was that if he didn't sign already, he was going to be signing with AEW, and then he got hurt. He's been out for a number of months. I don't know how far along he is in his recovery. I do believe he is going to land in AEW. So that'll be another big dude they get in there. You know, him and Archer. You know, they're bringing in some big boys here into this company. Brody Lee. What would I do with him? He's a very talented guy. He does things for a guy his size that you wouldn't expect. But I also think that probably puts more stress on his body. So this is not the first time he's been hurt. I think his injury history has to be a concern. You know, what kind of longevity does he have? As big as he is, doing the kind of things he does, and the dives and everything. I don't know. I always feel like he's just one rough landing away from an injury. But then again, everybody is one rough landing away from an injury. I mean, Montez Ford almost killed himself on Raw Monday night doing a dive because Austin Theory didn't catch him. You know, I mean, every wrestler, unfortunately, is one bad move or bad landing away from an injury. So if he could stay healthy, I think he can do well in AEW. And Balls of Steel Chicken, my new favorite name, my new favorite Super Chat name, Balls of Steel Chicken, sent in a Super Chat. It says, Cody as Link, Lance Archer as Gandalf, Lance Archer as Ganondorf would be a nice AEW Zelda artwork for their feud. Yeah, I got my Zelda mixed up with, Lord of the Rings? I've committed quite the sin by doing that. Do you realize that I never beat the original Legend from Zelda? That fucking game was so hard. I beat Super Mario, everyone yells at me when I call him Mario. Where I'm from, it's Super Mario, okay? But to make all of you happy, Super Mario. There, you happy? Yeah, I don't get what you people are so upset about. When I see Mario Lopez on TV, no, people don't call him Mario Lopez. They call him Mario Lopez. Why would the plumber be called by a different pronunciation? Huh? Answer me that. Super Mario. I beat Super Mario. I never beat Legend of Zelda. The very first one on NES. I can never beat it. Played Contra. What else did I play? Contra is the main one I remember. Anyway, Balls of Steel Chicken. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. Let's wrap up with one or two more here. 804, you're on the air.
Hello, this is Stellar Steven on Twitter. And called in last week. Glad to be on again. Enjoyed Dynamite past weeks and the Dark Side of the Ring series. And I wanted to ask you about I've been really enjoying the Jericho and Brody Lee promos and vignettes and the whole Darby Allin Cody hostility. Do you think we can possibly get a Brody Lee versus a Dustin Rhodes match and possibly a Darby Cody rematch with that attack from Darby to Cody after their tag match?
Tonight? Yeah, I expect it. I mean, I said earlier, if I had to map out this tournament, I think we end up getting a rematch with Cody and Darby. Darby wins. He goes all the way to the finals, and he falls short. And then I saw what they did at the end of the show, and it just only reinforced what I thought, that we're going to get Cody and Darby again. We almost have to.
Yeah, I think they had a really great match last time, so I'll be looking forward to their eventual rematch. And what do you think about the Brody Lee vignettes? Because I've been digging them, but it seems like very polarizing lately with the Vince jokes.
Yeah, you know, I said last week that they have to cut that out. There's been a couple of instances, his debut promo, right? The old man joke, which I thought that line was great. And then they did the whole steak vignette last week. The whole thing was clearly just a little inside shot of Vince McMahon. And I said, all right, it was cute. It was fine. Now they have to move on. And unless I miss something, it's possible tonight was another rib on Vince McMahon. Maybe I just didn't get it. I didn't look at tonight's segment as having to do.
I think it was a sleep comment, being sleep for the week. I kind of picked up on that.
All right, maybe. Yeah, that's true. I've heard that Vince McMahon hates sleep. That's true. Actually, there's been a lot of people, like writers and stuff, who've told stories that they'll get a call from Vince at 2 o'clock in the morning wanting to organize a writer's meeting, like in the middle of the night, because the guy never sleeps. You know, I think he sleeps probably 3 or 4 hours a night, and then he's in the gym. The guy's a machine. So maybe it was. Maybe it was an inside joke. If so, they got to cut that shit out. It's because I didn't think tonight's segment was as good. So now, if they're just building these things around Vince McMahon jokes, now it's not even as entertaining. It's time to kind of move on and kind of get away from that. And let's forget about the old man and just focus on your own shit. That's what I say.
Well, I have been enjoying them so far, but I can understand your point. And I like the moment that he had with Dustin after the tag match and powerbombing one of his minions. I thought that was pretty great. And looking forward to seeing more of what he can do. And last comment I wanted to ask you about the Jericho Vanguard 1 feud, because sure. I've been really enjoying their back and forth.
Yeah. I mean, do you have a question? Because I thought it was great.
Oh, no, just what did you think about the use of Vanguard 1 and Matt Hardy, the silliness? I kind of like the Matt Hardy stuff from last week, but what did you think about the teleportation? Because that seems to be very polarizing as well.
Yeah, I wasn't a huge fan of it at first, and I give Matt credit because there was a follow-up video where he actually tried to explain it. He explained that it was Vanguard 1 with the hologram, which we've seen that, you know, in the Vanguard 1 stuff before with the little Matt Hardy hologram that, you know, they edit into some of these segments. So he tried to explain it by saying it was just a trick from Vanguard 1. He was projecting various holograms. He was down, you know, he was down down below the entire time. So that was fine. So that didn't bother me. And I thought the segment with Vanguard 1 and Jericho, I think that the stuff with Jericho and Vanguard 1 is some of the best, most entertaining stuff on Dynamite. Jericho's been great. The guy's cutting a promo on a freaking drone. But I've loved the interplay between. I loved it 2 weeks ago when he's yelling at the drone. He goes, "I don't like you." He goes, "I'm not a fan of your political views on social media." And he's just going off on this thing. And I just thought, what am I watching here? It's absurd, but it's actually very entertaining. And then tonight, I thought this was great. I know some people are going to hate that kind of stuff. But I thought, you know, release the hounds and you see the dogs just kind of sitting there. There's that one, I don't know what it was, a chihuahua maybe, just sitting there looking at Jericho like, are you nuts? What am I even doing here? He kind of looked like Pepper. Remember Pepper the dog turned into Pepper Steak by the Big Boss Man? Pepperidge Farm remembers. Let's go to 415. You're on the air.
Hey, Solid Monster. My name's Jamil. I just started listening to you recently when I got back into wrestling. But I've been watching wrestling since maybe 2008, and this is the first time I ever heard a Jake the Roberts promo.
Sure.
And it was just like crazy, mind blowing. Like even growing up, I never heard a talker like him. But something that like popped into my head was I was so enamored with him, I wasn't really caring about Lance Archer. Do you think that like him being such a good promo would take away from some of the shine that Lance would need to get for some of the more American viewers who aren't familiar with him?
Yeah, it could. It could. And I think tonight was good because we had Jake on the screen, but he wasn't there. And then when Archer came out, it was all Archer. Like, you almost forgot about Jake. He went out there, he's throwing Marco Stunt around, and you almost forgot completely that Jake the Snake was even part of the whole act. So he could overshadow him. I think they have to be careful about that. But tonight was all about Archer, which is how it should be. And if you haven't seen a lot of Jake's earlier work, like mic work, I'm sure if you go on YouTube and just do like Jake the Snake promos or Jake the Snake compilation, there have to be videos that have clips of the best ones. Like WrestleMania 6, there was before his match, backstage interview that he did that's still talked about to this day. I mean, there's been so many great ones. I would say hop on YouTube and look at some of those from like the early 90s, like 1990, 91. That might have been some of his best work. I mean, the guy just had it, you know. He had a knack for it. He was creepy. He would talk low. You'd have to like lean in and listen to what he had to say. The stuff with him and the Macho Man, you got to look that stuff up. That whole feud, end of 91, look it up. Look up some of those promos. Some of the best stuff that I remember from my childhood was the stuff with him and Randy Savage. So you're in for a treat if you've not seen that before.
And then I just had one last comment. So I know, like, a lot of the criticism at AEW at first was they didn't have enough big men. But now that the roster, you know, we have I'm not sure if Joe Cobb signed, but there's Joe Cobb, there's Luchasaurus, there's Lance Archer, Jake Hager. How would you like to see, like, a big man match form? Are you interested in that format? Do you think it's tired? Or would you like to see some of these big guys go at it?
I'd like to see some of the big guys go at it, and I think we will. I mean, they were going to do a lumberjack match last week between Wardlow, he's another one with MJF, and Luchasaurus, and I guess just with everything going on, they just decided a lumberjack match, there's too many people, right? You're not supposed to have gatherings of more than 10 people. Now you're going to have a lumberjack match with probably, you know, 10 or 15 people just surrounding the ring, so they didn't do it. Hopefully in the future we'll get more. I forgot about Jeff Cobb. I forgot about him too. He hasn't signed a contract. I know they've been trying to. He has wanted to stay contract free. He wants to be a free agent. We'll see if he ends up signing with them. He's not big like tall, but I still look at him and think he's kind of like he's a big dude. He'd be a great pickup for them as well. So then you'd have him. You'd have Archer, Brody Lee, Wardlow, Luchasaurus, Brian Cage. I just talked about him. He's probably going to come in soon. And so you got a good core of big guys there. And yeah, let them go after each other at some point.
All right. Well, thank you, Solid Monster. Nice talking to you.
Nice talking to you too. Call in anytime. We always enjoy new listeners here on the live streams. Let's see here. Let me just play catch up here with some of the two new super chats. Mr. Flores again. Ismael Flores with the super chat, and Luis Antonio Alejandro, the infamous Luis, not calling in this week but super chatting. He says, "I knew the governor of Florida had the balls to put the final nail in WWE." For running the shows at the Performance Center, WWE off-season confirmed. I would not get ahead of myself just yet. It's possible, it's possible that they look at that and go, well, we can't run shows anymore, and so we're going to shut down. They may have no choice. But don't doubt Vince McMahon just yet that he wouldn't try to find some other place to run a show. I'm sure he's got a big, beautiful backyard right in his home. Although I guess he lives down in Boca. I guess he probably lives down in Boca, so that probably wouldn't work because that's in Florida. But Vince McMahon, I mean, the guy's got to have homes, you would think, in multiple places. Obviously, Connecticut. Maybe they can run it from his backyard and his Connecticut home. From the backyard of the McMahon family residence in the state of Connecticut. If Vince McMahon wants to run a show, believe me, he's going to run a show. Holy shit. Jesse with the $100 super chat bomb here at 11:24 p.m. on Thursday night. On Wednesday night, I don't know what fucking night it is anymore. Holy shit, Jesse, thank you. Longtime listener, first time donation. Thank you so much for the content. Working in healthcare here in the tri-state area, the content definitely helps keep my mind or my head on straight, he says, during difficult times. I really appreciate it. Yeah, let me tell you something about what's going on here in New York. For those of you who don't live in the tri-state area, New Jersey, Connecticut, New York, things are really bad. Things are really bad here at the hospitals all over the city. It's getting very scary. There's a lot of people going into work who don't have the gear that they need. And they go into work because it's what they do, and they're working hard, and they're around a lot of sick people, and I don't envy them at all. Being in that position, it's a tough thing. It's hard to even fathom that this is even happening right now. And you've got people on the front lines. I mean, you remember what happened 9/11 all those years ago, and all the first responders and all the people who went down to the World Trade Center to help out, even though you had to know, some of them knew it was not healthy being down there, but they went down anyway. These people are a special breed. And that goes for anybody working in healthcare right now. Because things are only going to get worse in these next few weeks. And they're the ones on the front lines doing all the stuff that you and I probably would never want to do. So my thanks to Jesse for all that he's doing. And if me doing these podcasts can give you some entertainment, then hell, I got no problem doing that. So again, thank you for that. I appreciate that. That means a lot. Let's actually, you know what? I think that might actually be a good spot to end here. Can't beat that. You can't beat that. Should we? Should we take a couple more? I want to make sure this stream doesn't go up in smoke if my computer crashes. I'm very worried about that. I don't know what would happen if that actually happened. That's one of my fears. Live streaming on YouTube. What happens if I crash? Does the show even get archived? Or is it lost forever? I don't want to find out. I don't want to find out. You know what? Let's take a couple more. Let's take a couple more. Let's go to, I think this might be our nation's capital. I could be wrong. 202.
Yeah, this is D.C. It's Garrett.
Ah, Garrett. Yes, alive and well.
Yeah, it's nice to hear you. I hope everything's going well with you in New York. Because, again, like the guy from earlier, we are at a stay-at-home rule at D.C. right now. But, you know, luckily I have a grocery store across the street from me, so I don't have to walk that far.
It's scary even just going to the grocery store, isn't it? It's unnerving. I was in there on Monday morning. I figured, you know what? I'll go first thing in the morning. The first hour of the day is reserved for all the senior citizens, so let them go shopping first. And then 7 a.m., boom, I'm going to be one of the first people there. I walk into the supermarket, and the first thing I do is I trip and I fall. Because when the doors opened, I didn't have a wagon. I was going to grab one of those little baskets. Well, the baskets were all over the floor. They must have tipped over. Maybe some old person knocked them over. I didn't see them. Right, so I'm like about to run into the supermarket. I tripped over the friggin' baskets. I went ass over tea kettle and I fell on the floor. And I'm like, oh no, like I hurt my knee. I'm like, no, this can't be happening right now. I don't want to. The last place I want to be is a hospital. But I was okay. I no sold it. I got up. I did my food shopping, and they had most of what I was looking for. But of course, no toilet paper. They didn't have any. They didn't have any paper towels. Everyone is buying up the stuff like it's going out of style. It's going out of style because all these people are buying it all up. Stop doing that. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, I was going
to... Sorry, I had to get that off. I had to get that off my chest, Gary. You understand how these things go.
Yeah, I know. Luckily, I had enough toilet paper before this stuff began, but...
When we're off the air and I will have to barter. We'll have to come up with some kind of... Maybe I have something that you might be interested in here, perhaps.
I think I'll keep my toilet paper if you don't mind. But
damn it.
I was going to also mention, since today is April 1st still, it also brings up the fact that 17 years ago was WrestleMania 23. And looking back on it now, seeing that the president who is combating this coronavirus just so happens to be the worst Stone Cold stunner in all of wrestling, I don't know. The chances are 50-50 for us, I think.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. But did you the bigger question is did you see Dynamite tonight? And if so, what did you think was the highlight of the show? Because I thought it was the Jericho segment with the drone. But what did you think was the highlight of the show tonight?
Oh, that the Jericho segment for me was also the highlight. It was a complete 180 for me last week because I just didn't. Something about them doing the Matt Hardy gimmick inside the ring in the arena just does not connect well with me when it's like off. Screen or like out of the arena, it just like makes me just die laughing watching it, like Jericho releasing the hounds or just like the Jericho once again pouring a glass of champagne, just drinking from the bottle afterwards is just, you know, top comedy for me. But I think it was a thumbs up segment. I cannot wait for the inner deletion, if they're going to call it that, for Jericho and Matt Hardy, if they're going to do it from the compound later on. But I thought the show was fine overall. And again, the idea of Colt Cabana being in this like tournament for the TNT title, again, I understand low staff, so essential workers, I guess, for it. So I wouldn't be mind for him just to get squashed by Archer in the end, but I do see it being Cody and Archer in the finals to, you know, cap off the feud with those two.
Cody and Archer, you know what? That's a good point. I hadn't really thought about that. They have been building Cody and Archer, and you know, Jake says Cody's avoiding him and everything, and yeah, I guess they could do it in the finals. I was kind of looking at it like they would do it, but they would do it outside of the tournament. You make a great point. You know, I honestly had not even thought of that, that they could just do the match, but do it in the finals of the tournament. And then I assume that, do you think Archer would go over? I would think Archer would probably go over in the end.
Well, I think that, you know, since you have like a top heel in the business with John Moxley and you got, you know, a good, decent tag team, I think you should have like a heel champion in mid-card to spice things up, especially with, you know, smaller guys like Darby Allin, you know, being like competitive against Archer in that environment. Then again, we don't know if they're going to continue doing TV in the next month.
Yeah,
so
you know, it's funny too. Man, I can't believe I, you know, I'm looking at the way things are laid out. And if there is a Double or Nothing, the finals of the tournament will be at Double or Nothing. They're clearly building to a match between Cody and Archer. So either Archer doesn't go to the finals and they do Cody and Archer separate from the tournament, or that's going to be the final match. So you're right. I figured it would be Archer and Darby, but now you got me thinking it's going to be, you know, if Archer goes all the way to the finals, it almost has to be Cody.
Yeah. Which, I mean, I wouldn't mind, you know, Cody.
No, I wouldn't mind at all either. I just, I tunnel vision. I was kind of thinking, because they are building that match. So I guess that really would make more sense than doing Darby and Archer.
Well, I mean, if they want to not make the tournament predictable, if they worry about that.
You're making me look bad,
like,
Gary.
You know,
you're making me look real bad here. I don't like that.
Don't worry. You know, I may have asked myself when I broke the news about the, was it Ted DiBiase's son going to prison? I confused the wrong DiBiase son.
Oh, yes, you did. That was a faux pas. That was an embarrassing moment. You may not live that down. I forgive you. It's not a big deal. We all fuck up. It's no problem, but I don't know if people in the chat have forgiven you for that yet.
Well, I don't. Now that you mentioned what happened with you today, you know, as much as it was embarrassing for me, the fact you had like a shock master moment today when you fell down.
Yes, well, on Monday. This was on Monday. This was not today. This was on Monday. But yes, that was my shock master moment. Thankfully, it was not caught on tape.
Yeah, I guess so. Since you're binging on Netflix and, you know, to wrap things up, I was like, tell you some shows you probably should watch. The Blacklist, you know, since it's got six seasons, it's very good, worth watching. House of Cards, I do not like Kevin Spacey, but, you know, that show is pretty damn good for
Netflix.
Yeah,
I'm almost done with that. I am in the middle of season 5. So that is the penultimate season. Once I finish 5, I guess he's not even on 6, but I'll wrap up with 6 and then I'll be done with that whole show. But I'm liking it so far.
Yeah, it's, you know, gives you an idea of how things are going right now in the nation's capital, you know, especially for residents like us. It's like, yep, this is pretty realistic for us to watch.
Yeah. Now, there's a lot of good stuff on Netflix, but everything goes on pause next week on Monday because it is the Big Show coming to Netflix, and I'm going to have to make time to watch the Big Show in his new sitcom.
You just have to remind me of that one.
The Big Show. What a name.
Well, you know, I credit for him, you know, if he, you know, to make it work. But again, the idea of, you know, wrestling. I mean, I just watched the review of OSW, which is another good YouTube channel, when they're talking about WWE Studios' countdown with Dolph Ziggler, which, you know, apparently been the subject of discussion tonight. And the idea of Rusev pointing a gun at Dolph Ziggler movie is worth watching the whole hour and 90-minute film.
Yes. I've seen the movie. I don't know if that's the same movie that had Kane as a police chief. Is that the same movie I'm thinking about?
Yeah, that's the one where he actually shoots Dolph with like some safety rounds. I don't forget. I guess it was like some, for any event, you know, I'll say friends of spoilers are coming out. You know, I'm trying to prevent from spoilers to come out for this movie. They want to still watch it. But, yeah, you know, since we got on to Dolph, I would say the fact that, you know, when you look at like someone like Rey Mysterio, who is basically could arguably say had the worst championship run of anyone, you know, he was so talented. The fact he was able to rise up from that horrible run, he was able to still be a megastar. I just don't think, I mean, Dolph is good, but I just don't think he is that, you know, great compared to like people like Rey Mysterio or other people in that position of where they get mishandled for being a top champion.
Yeah, now Rey Mysterio is a once-in-a-lifetime talent. I would not put Dolph Ziggler above Rey Mysterio. I think Rey Mysterio and Dolph Ziggler could have a great match together. But if you ask me, you know, just pure talent, would Dolph Ziggler be considered above Rey Mysterio? No. No, Rey Mysterio is one of a kind. I would not do that. But listen, Garrett, I'm going to let you go because I'm going to move on here. But thank you for the call. Any last words here before I let you go?
Just stay safe. Make sure you guys enjoy WrestleMania, which is about to be a either a train wreck or just like one of those shows to help you get away from this whole, you know, disaster. But again, everyone just stay safe and just stay at home. You know, that's the best we can all do to prevent this from getting any worse as it is.
That's right. And as Braun Strowman would say, wash these hands. You saw that PSA? Wash these hands?
I did, but, you know, after what happened with his Instagram comments, I'm not going to listen to him at that point. But I'm going to wash my hands for my own reasons. I'm not going to let Braun Strowman tell me what to do.
Well, there you go. Thank you, Garrett. Garrett being defiant. He is being defiant of Braun Strowman here. Not a fan of the moron among men. All right, you know what? Let's wrap things up here. We got a few more super chats to go through here. Fallout Justice. Not Fallout Justice. What am I saying? Fallout Just Cause. I'm going to have to start wearing glasses soon. This sucks. Fallout Just Cause. Thank you. Says thank you for taking my call. Sorry if I sounded nervous. Everybody sounds nervous first time they're on. It's no big thing. It's no big deal. Magician Sapphire, thank you for the $10. Healthcare workers are the nation's unsung heroes. Right now they are. Absolutely. And Booger Burgers. Booger Burgers sent a super chat in. We need all the top doctors and healthcare workers to end this heel run for the Rona, we'll call it. Yeah, man, it's the big heel. There's no bigger heel right now. We need the big baby face to come out, give the big boot and the leg drop, do some posing. Wouldn't that be nice? But most of all, we've got to get back to these crowd shows, man. Again, wrestling just isn't the same without the audience. If there's one thing I've taken away from these last few weeks, talented as the wrestlers may be, it cuts both ways. The fans are a big, big part of the show. They are one of the big stars of the show. Even those times they go into business for themselves. Believe me, I'm going to have thoughts on that too. I didn't even touch on that tonight. This whole concept that WWE may be testing out this weekend for WrestleMania. Virtual fans on screen during the shows. Yeah. As I look at the images from the WWE Fan Council survey that I took earlier today. Because my first thought was, look, you got to get creative. Always down to try new ideas. There's nothing wrong with trying something new. Then I see what it would look like. And that is just an epic fail. That is an epic fail. Now, if you could turn it off, then that's okay. Because at least you have the option to turn it off. I would imagine on the WWE Network, if you were to do that, you should be able to turn it off. But look, I've been saying for years that they should have a mute commentary switch on the network. And we still haven't gotten that. So who knows if we'll have the ability to actually turn this new feature off if they were to put fans all around the screen border. I hope they don't go through with this idea. All you fan council people out there, take the poll, let them know what you think. Let them know you don't like this idea. You do not like this idea. You don't want people like me, okay, on your screen. It's distracting. It's way too distracting. Listen, guys, thank you for all of the support. Jesse, again, Jesse with the big super chat of the night, the $100 bomb. Thank you. I cannot thank you enough for that. And everybody who donated, everybody who contributed tonight, tuned in live. I'm going to plan to be live again tomorrow on YouTube. I don't know exactly when, but we will do WrestleMania predictions, and I'll have some other WrestleMania news before the big event, the big two-night event this weekend. And then I'll be back again Saturday night, live after night one of WrestleMania, right back here on YouTube, streaming again, taking your calls. Sunday night, night two, when WrestleMania goes off the air, guess what? I'm going to be back here live again. And sandwiched in between all of that, you're going to get a brand new podcast on Sunday morning, episode 646 of The Sound Off, all the latest news, Dark Side of the Ring on New Jack, RSPW Rewind is back. A lot of good stuff coming your way. Thank you for all of the support, for all of the content. You guys are awesome. You guys rock. stay safe wherever the hell you may be. Stay inside, wash your hands, don't pick your nose, scratch your ass, all that stuff. Just behave yourselves and stop buying up all the fucking toilet paper. For God's sakes. I cannot impress upon you enough. I'm good for like another 5 weeks. And then at that point, I'm going to have to start using my hand, okay? I don't want to use my hand. Stop buying up all the toilet paper. Have a good night.